Wisconsin while I was still in Bible college. So that means that he's older than I am. So, but he has started a number of churches. The Lord has led him in evangelism. And I can tell that we have a real kindred spirit. And so it's a blessing to have him here. And trust that God will use him tonight to do what we need.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, praise the Lord and shame on the devil. I had a good friend while I was in El Paso, Texas, named Carlos Demarest, if you've ever heard of him. And he was my soul-winning buddy down there in El Paso. And he always said that statement, praise the Lord and shame on the devil. Just wanted to mention real quickly that after services, if you're interested, there are some pamphlets and books back on the back table back there that are very good. You need to have some good literature in your home. There's a few devotionals there. I'm just about out of materials. I ordered a bunch more. My son-in-law wrote all those materials that are on the table back there. He's a pastor at Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas. If you've ever seen any tracts that say how to get to heaven from Wisconsin, then it probably came from Mercy and Truth, from his printing ministry there. They print millions of tracts, and actually they're free if you don't get anything printed on them, but if you get your church name printed on them, they're only $30 a thousand. That is very cheap for tracts, and so if you need some good tracts, then you can get them from there. But if you're interested in anything on the table back there, then I'm just trying to promote his materials to get them out around so people know about them. And there's some good things back there, some good devotionals for kids as well as teenagers and adults. Everybody ought to have a devotional book, and it's they're good. The kids like the kids one because it has a game on every page that you can play. And the teenagers like the teenage one because it tells you what happened on that particular day. Sometime, for instance, it's National Inner Tube Day or some stupid thing, you know, that's in there you can read, and it's interesting, and as well as the scripture. But there's some things there. There's some, especially if you're teaching Sunday school, you have devotions with your family, everybody ought to. But you can get some of those object lesson books back there. There's four different ones, object lesson books, and that gives you some really good things to teach your children, or to teach junior church kids or your Sunday school class, things like that. Let me just mention a couple of things about my family. I have six children. I feel almost backslidden because your pastor has 8 or 10, and his son has 8. And I thought, good night. I don't know why we only had 6, but we had 6, and praise the Lord for that. But I am ahead of him right now on grandchildren. I have 26 grandkids, and he only has about 22, I think, right at the moment. 21. Okay, and but he'll catch me here in a few months, I'm sure, on the grandkids. But I have these six children, 3 sons, they're preachers, and 3 daughters. Two of the daughters married preachers, they're all in the ministry. And I have one daughter that is with me. She is not here tonight, but they're in Oshkosh. And the reason I came here by myself tonight rather than bringing my wife and daughter is because early in the morning I have to go to the airport and fly to New York to do a funeral for one of our dear ladies that passed away in the church that I pastored a couple of years ago, pastored for 14 years. And a lot of those people, they want me to come back and do their funeral when they die. And I'm glad to do that and glad to be a blessing. And I pray that I can be a blessing to this family in New York. I sense that this is a real church, that you are not just playing. I can tell it by the ones that have testimonies praying for your guests that you want to have on Friend Day this coming Sunday. I can tell it by the attitude and the spirit of your pastor's kids. I can tell that your preacher is real, that he's not a fake. I can tell that. And it doesn't take very long to be around another preacher to tell whether he's just blowing hot air or whether he really means business for God. And I can tell that your pastor is genuine, that he is trying his best to raise his kids for God. And that, of course, drifts over into the church family to where that's your all's goal, too. I don't want to take all night on just telling about me or my family, but I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5. We'll read a passage of scripture there in a moment, and then we'll have a word of prayer. When I was a young man, my dad was a farmer throughout my life when I was young, and I loved to work on the farm, and I loved to see what my dad did. I always wanted to be involved in everything my dad did, and one day I was about 10 years old, something like that, and I got home from school, and I heard a lot of racket coming from out in the pig pen. And before I even went in the house and changed clothes and got on my dirty clothes, I went out to see what was going on. And in the pig barn, sty area there, there was screaming and yelling. Pigs were screaming and yelling. And I thought, man, I got to go see what in the world's going on in the pig pen. And so, the pig pen was muddy though. It was real muddy. And actually the mud was probably about a foot deep. My dad had walked out there, I could see, because there were footprints every place that he went, all the way out to the pig barn. And so I thought, well, if I step in his footprints, then I can make it out to the pig barn. And so I put one in there, but his stretch on his legs was a lot bigger than mine. And so my second one, I reached way out there, I got in there, and I was stuck. I had to wait until they came out and got me out of there. I was stuck in the mud. But I was trying to walk in my dad's footprints. And I think it's so important for dads that want to raise kids for God to walk with God in such a way that your family, your children, your wife especially, they all could see Christ in you. I want to read this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great passage of Scripture. And I pray that you would help me tonight as I preach on this subject that you've given me to speak on this evening. I believe this is what you would have me to say. And I pray, Lord, that I would be able to preach fast because there's a lot of things in the message to get across. And I pray, Lord, that people would listen fast and learn and get the things that I want to preach about. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would walk up and down these aisles and speak to hearts, especially the leaders in the homes, the moms and the dads that are here tonight. And I pray that we would all walk away from the services tonight wanting to walk with you in a special way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If somebody came to me and they asked me and said, "Hey, preacher, what advice would you give me? You've been in the ministry for all these 46 years and pastoring churches, and now you're an evangelist, and you've seen a lot of water go under the bridge. What advice would you give me?" If I only had one thing to say, I would say, listen, in your life, you need to walk with God. Walk with God every day in your life. Now, the Bible says Enoch was 65 years old, and he became a father after 65 years. And then it says he walked with God for 300 years after he began to walk with the Lord. Now, what does it mean to walk with the Lord? What does it mean to walk with God? Well, there's a Greek word. It's called peripateo, like a pair of potatoes. Two potatoes. Para, of course, means around, and pateo means tread. So tread around or walk around with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Walk with God. Do you know? Have God included in every area of your life. Every area. Have God included in your pleasure. A lot of people, they want God included in all their life, except whenever they want to go out and have fun, but they don't want to do things that are pleasing to God, so they don't want to take God with them when they're having fun. But we need to have God with us when we're having fun in our pleasure, and when God needs to be the center of our business. We need to be honest in all of our dealings and treat people right in our business. We need to have God with us in our education. Don't be learning wicked and ungodly things from the world to spoil your mind, to get your mind all messed up, but make sure that God is pleased with the education that you're getting, and then take God with you in your work every day when you go to work. Make sure that you give your employer 8 hours work for 8 hours of time there that he's going to pay you, and so on. Make sure you take God with you in your personal life, in all the things you do personally. Take God with you. And then, of course, in the raising of your children. Oh, how you need to take God with you when you're raising your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The goal when your children are born ought to be to raise those kids for God and help them to put God first in their life after they become saved and surrender their life to the Lord and do what God wants them to do, to be whatever it wants to be, them wants them to be. Now, I don't think it's sinful to be a godly plumber. I don't think it's sinful to be a godly attorney or a godly doctor. I don't think it's sinful at all to be some of those things. But I'll tell you what, we have a lot of people out there that are sort of nominal Christians that could be all those things. We need the godly people and the good Christians to surrender their life if God would use them in a full-time Christian work capacity. We need God to call the young people to preach. We need God to get a hold of the young ladies to grow up and to be godly people so that they can make some good preachers' wives or a good Christian school teachers. Or just serving God on the mission field or whatever it might be. But we need people to surrender to the Lord. And if God were to call you, everybody ought to surrender the life and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to do it. I'll be what you want me to be. We need to surrender unto the Lord. And if you have not done that as a young person today, or even as a middle-aged person today, you have not surrendered your life to the Lord to be whatever God wants you to be, then you need to totally 100% surrender to the Lord to be what God wants you to be. In today's world, especially in the United States of America, people want to raise their kids to get a good education and grow up and then go out and get a good job so they can buy a big house, so they can buy a big car, and so then they can fill that house up and then they can buy a bigger house and so on. And success today is based upon how many things you have and how many items you have and how much stuff you have and so on in this world. And we need to get our minds off of the stuff, and we need to get our minds on what God wants us to do in life. Don't know whether anybody agrees with me or not, because I haven't heard any amens, but if you agree with me, it doesn't hurt to say amen once in a while. I'm not one of those preachers that ask for amens, but folks, if you agree with it, it might be good to say amen, because then the guy next to you might be on the fence and kind of wondering, and he said, uh-oh, well, so-and-so down there, he believes that this must be the truth. So it helps you to know that you agree with what the preacher's saying. But be sure that God is in every path and every adventure that you have and that you're pursuing in life. If God is worth anything in life, He is worth everything in life. The Bible never says, seek ye second the kingdom of God. Never says that. It never does say God wants most of your heart. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It says that God says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Now, every part of your life, God ought to lead you and direct you in your life. Every part of your life. Now, when a man loses his faith in God to protect him, then he has to depend upon other things that he builds as a canopy of protection over him. There are false things like false beliefs or a canopy of stuff and things that he puts his faith and trust in. But the further away that we, the further we get from our faith in God, the bigger idols that we have to fill up that void that's brought there by not having the faith in God that we ought to have. There was a day when we depended upon God rather than the government. Today, it's getting to the place to where if anybody needs anything, they go to the government for it, where it used to be people got on their knees and they prayed for the things that they needed. And they asked God to supply all of their needs according to His riches and glory. But everyone needs the feeling that they'll be cared for. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be cared for. And I know that He'll care for me. I know that He will, because for all of these years, 46 years pastoring and also 2 years in evangelism, God has supplied all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Trust in the Lord, and He will do that. I've seen it happen. I know He'll take care of me. I got saved in 1969 on March the 21st, and I don't have time to go into the story this evening, but But in 1969, when I got saved, 2 weeks later, my pastor said, hey, there's a church up in Wisconsin that needs a preacher. You want to go check it out? And so I went up to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and checked it out. And they called me as their pastor. I'd only been saved a couple of weeks and began to pastor that church at Bible Baptist Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And they gave me the whopping salary of $10 a week, brother. That was what they paid me. I had a wife and two children, and they gave me $10 a week. I knew I couldn't live on $10 a week, Brother Rain. Is it Rain?
Rain.
Rain, Brother Rains. And so I put $5 a week back in the offering. Because I figured, well, I couldn't live on 10. I couldn't live on 5 either.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter. God's going to have to take care of me one way or the other. And so I put 5 back in the offering and trusted God. And I could spend the whole night just telling you how God met our needs while I was there at Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. He did. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was green as ever in building a church and pastoring and all this kind of stuff. But it wasn't long, and we were running 100 in Sunday school. And God had blessed. And I'd been out knocking on doors telling people about Jesus. My salary was still $10 a week. I got home from out visiting, and I come into the house, and my wife said, met me at the door, and she said, sweetheart, we don't have any more food in the house. And I didn't have a dime in my pocket, didn't have any money at all. I went in the kitchen and I looked, because, you know, sometimes wives exaggerate maybe. And so I looked in the kitchen. And we had one of those oatmeal things, one of those Quaker oatmeal things, that had about that much oatmeal in it. We had a little bit of salt in the salt shaker and a little bit of pepper in the pepper shaker, and the water faucet worked. But that's it. There wasn't anything else. No vegetables, no potatoes, no nothing in the kitchen. And so I went in the other room and I said, sweetheart, I'll take care of it. Well, I had no idea what in the world I was going to do, because I didn't have any money. And I wasn't going to rob the store, you know, and so... So I went in my office, and a little office there I had in the house, and knelt down on the chair and by the chair and put my Bible on it. And I began to pray, and I began to weep, and began to tell God, oh God, my family's going to be hungry, and they got to eat. And oh God, would you please meet our needs? And Lord, you're going to have to feed us. And oh God, I'm asking you today to meet our needs. And I prayed until I got peace with God. Then I got up off my knees, and I went into my wife, and I gave her a big hug, and I said, honey, it's going to be okay. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be okay, because God's given me peace in my heart. And folks, in less than 2 hours, a pickup truck pulls in the driveway, and the whole back end was filled full of food. And they brought that food into my kitchen and filled my kitchen full of food in 2 hours after I had prayed that prayer in my office. Listen, I know that God is real. My kids have seen that God is real. And folks, if you want God to give you things and you want God to answer your prayers, start walking with God. Start walking with God every day and trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Do you know that this passage of scripture that I just read, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, was written by a man who didn't have any insurance. Is written by a guy that didn't have any social security. Is written by a guy that lived by having faith in God. Trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. And we have the same God today, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the same God that can supply our needs over and over and over. Paul said, my God shall not might. He said he shall not could. Said he shall not should. And so on. Remember, I could tell you all kinds of illustrations. I just feel that I ought to skip two or three of them here because of time. But, you know, in America, we've lost our faith in the protection and supplying of God Almighty and meeting our spiritual needs as well as our physical needs. We kind of depend on other things, you know. Well, I'm going to have to get an extra job and skip church, you know, on Wednesday night and Sunday night because I got to provide for my family. Man, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray to God and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Lord, you supply our needs. You do what you have to do. I want to be faithful to God. I want my kids to grow up and be faithful to God. And I don't want them to take any old excuse to quit serving God and to not go to church. Lord, I'm going to be faithful in church and going to trust you. Would you show my children that God is real? Sometimes a preacher comes up and he preaches about things and tells you what happens. You say, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Something like that happens to me. Listen, I'll tell you something. You live close to God and you'll have your own illustrations. You live close to the Lord and He will supply your needs. You live close to God and God will give you miracles in your life that you won't even be able to explain. You'll say, look what God did. And you'll rejoice and you'll weep and you'll, as a family, you'll get together and your children will see that God is real and that He's not just a God off somewhere that you can't get a hold of, but He's a God that can answer your prayer. You know, in the olden days, America depended upon God and we had some character back then. We had some backbone back then. We had some courage back then, and we need to realize that God is a holy God. A holy God. He's not called Big Daddy. He's not called the man upstairs. Nothing like that. God is a holy God. And if God Almighty were to walk through that door tonight, all of us would fall prostrate on the floor to worship God. God is a holy God. We need to treat Him as a holy God. Now, walking with God is the theme tonight. The more you walk with God, the more you become like Him. That's why the more you pray, the more you learn to pray about things that God wants. Do you know, Brother Roberts, I have never prayed and asked God to give me a can of beer. I never have.
Praise God.
You know why? Because I know God doesn't want me drinking. I'm not going to ask Him for something that I know that He's against. I've never asked Him for a pack of cigarettes. And by the way, I've never smoked a cigarette except when I took some of my dad's out behind the barn and tried them out and decided that was not for me. But anyway, I've never asked God for a pack of cigarettes. Never asked Him for wicked things. Because I know God wouldn't be interested in giving me those kinds of things. And the closer you get to God, the more your heart will be in tune with the Lord. The more you'll start praying like God wants you to pray. And you'll start getting all kinds of answers to prayer because you're praying in the will of God. In the will of God. In the Bible, there were three people that it said walked with God. Noah was one. Levi was one. And Enoch was one. Only three in the whole Bible. If God were to write more in the Bible, now He's not going to, but if He were going to, wouldn't you like to be number four that walks with God? I want you to notice when and how Enoch started walking with God. Enoch was 65 years old in that passage of Scripture we read. And then he had a son named Methuselah. And I can just picture the home right now. Methuselah is born. Enoch is holding this little baby in his hands. And he's saying, I've got a job to do. I've got to raise this little boy up so that he'll love God. And he started that day at 65 years old and started walking with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. He made up his mind that he was going to be faithful to God, and he was consistent day after day after day after day after day after day for 300 years was faithful to God. Many times you might have a revival. A preacher comes and he preaches a message and you're spoken to by the Holy Spirit and you decide to come down to the altar, ask God to forgive you and turn over a new leaf, start living for God. And then about 3 weeks later you get backslidden and you quit it. That's what happens in the Christian life a lot of times. We're not consistent day after day after day after day. Now, I don't know about all of Brother Robert's children, but the ones that I've met seem to be very godly kids. Do you know that they're not accidents? They did that on purpose. I remember when my oldest daughter was born, the firstborn of my family, a little girl. My wife was at the hospital, I took her to the hospital, and her pains were about 2 minutes apart, and got her to the hospital, and 30 minutes later, Stacia Fawn was born. And then I didn't have any money. I had to go stop at my boss's house and borrow $100 to get her in the hospital. And I took her home that evening at 6 o'clock in the evening. She was in the hospital 10 hours, and they gave me $20 back. By the way, isn't that amazing? That was a miracle right there. And so, but anyway, we get home, and I get my wife in bed and so on, and have the little baby in the bassinet, and I take the little baby out, little Stacia Fawn, and I lay her down there on the bed, right beside my wife, and I kneel down beside my wife, there beside the bed, and I take my wife's hand, put my hand on the knee or the leg of my little baby, and I pray, and I say, God, my wife and I just had this little baby. Of course, you know that. But we don't know what we're doing. We've never raised any kids before. It'd been nice to have somebody else's for a while and tried them out, you know, practice. But we didn't have anybody else's first. And Lord, we haven't done this before. We don't know what we're doing. And we can't do this without you. And so right now, Lord, we're giving this little girl to you. And if you would help us, Lord, we'll raise her for you. We don't know how, but we'll try and do it consistently and raise her for you. And Lord, somewhere in this world, there's some ugly guy. Baby. They're just born, maybe. And she's going to grow up and meet him one of these days and going to fall in love and going to marry this guy. I pray that you'd put a hedge about him right now. You'd watch over him and keep his life pure. Keep him clean and help us to help our daughter to keep her life clean and pure so that she can grow up and get saved and then serve you in her life.
Amen.
She's the wife of the guy that wrote all that material back there in the back, Stacia Fawn. But let me just tell you something. One of the reasons that she's living for God today is because we made up our mind way back in 1970 when she was born, or 1967, whenever it was, when she was born, that we were going to raise her for the Lord. We did that with each of our kids. Say, God, this little boy, Lord, I don't know, but if you'd call him to preach, that'd be great. And we'll just do our best to raise this little preacher boy. And Lord, he's not going to be a daddy called preacher. We want him to be a God called preacher. And Lord, so we're not going to tell him that he's called to preach. We're just going to raise him for you, and you call him to preach. And my boys are all preachers. My daughter's married preachers. And let me tell you something. You can raise godly kids too. If you just make up your mind. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. I'm saying that God is the one that did it. And you can do it too if you'll make up your mind to put God first in your life and to be what God wants you to be day after day after day after day after day after day. Do you know, Micah says, walk humbly with thy God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with God if you don't agree with him. You got to read the Bible and find out what he says and say, okay, God, if that's what you say.
Amen.
Now, do you know, I'm glad that the Bible doesn't say that everybody that gets saved ought to wear polka dot suits. Aren't you? But if the Bible said, when you get saved, wear a polka dot suit, then we ought to do it. Right? We just ought to obey God, whatever God says. Now, God gives us instructions in the Word of God and a lot of things to do and a lot of things not to do and how to live and how not to live, how to talk, how not to talk, and how to treat people and how not to treat people and all these things. We ought to just obey God in all of those things. The Bible says we're to walk in good works. It says that we're to walk in love and we're to walk in wisdom and we're to walk in truth. How does a person walk with God? A constant awareness of God's presence. He does say that I'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. He's going to be with you all the time. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's in your heart. He's going to be with you. And believe that and sense God's presence all the time. A constant fellowship and talk. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Take God with you when you're shopping and when you're working and when you're playing. Well, he ought to be a part of everything in your life. No secret rooms, no secret closets where you don't take God. God needs to be with you in everything. And then also, you've got to be intimate with God. Tell him you love him. Tell him the desires of your heart, what you would really like. And God will hear you. Let me just say that, parents, all of the services here at this great church will not take the place of your godly home or ungodly home. If your home is not consistent and real Monday through Saturday, then it doesn't matter what Brother Robert says here at the pulpit. Your kids aren't going to pay any attention. They're going to know you're a fake, that you're not real. If you can't get along with your wife and have a sweet atmosphere, you can't get along with your husband and have a sweet atmosphere at home, your kids are going to know that you are a joke, that you're just a fake, and that you're not real, that you're a hypocrite, and they're not going to want anything to do with it, and they're going to grow up and go to the devil. It's just what's going to happen. But if you want your children to grow up and serve God and love God, then you better be consistent. Better be consistent. When you make a mistake, admit that you made a mistake. Ask your children to forgive you, or your wife or your husband or whoever it is, and then start then again to do what you're supposed to do. Love the Word of God. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart that you not sin against the Lord. Fall in love with the Word of God. You can't walk with God if you don't have any idea what His book says. Live like you think Jesus would live. Act like you think Jesus would act. Walk in the way that you think Jesus would walk. Now, there needs to be seasons in your life where you don't do anything but just talk to God. I have a message. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but I have a message on fasting. Some of you maybe have never fasted in your life. It'd be a good thing to read what the Bible says about that. And when people wanted something great from God, they fasted and prayed. There must be seasons when you talk with God. You know, when you walk with God, and you walk with God, then He will walk with you, and He'll answer your prayers. Enoch decided when he was a little boy that he'd better start walking with the Lord when he had this little boy. I don't know how someone could look at their children and decide not to walk with God. Make up your mind you're going to walk with the Lord. And it must not begin with just a short season, but it needs to be the whole life. Yeah. Your whole life. Now, I'm a grandpa 26 times. The youngest one's a year old. The oldest one's 20. Two of them are in the Lord's work already. One of them's a junior in college, Bible college, and one of them is serving the Lord in Indianapolis, Indiana. But I've asked God to let me to live, help me to live until all of my grandkids are serving the Lord. Amen. That'd be another 26. What's your goal? Well, I want my kid to grow up and get a big house and build a big car. You're an idiot. If you're a Christian, that's dumb. Right. Do you know the Bible says if your ways please the Lord, He'll even give you the desires of your heart? That means God may give you a big house even if you serve Him. We don't have a juvenile problem today. We have an adult problem. We have a parent problem. America's full of dads that don't walk with God. They go to church on Sunday maybe, but they don't walk with God during the week. Mothers spend all day taking care of their own desires instead of doing the thing that's right and walking with the Lord. Enoch, 300 years. He didn't begin to walk with God and then take off a week or two and then begin to walk with God again. No, he walked with God 300 years, faithful, day in and day out and day in and day out. And he was consistent, day after day. He didn't fall out of step even for a single day, according to the Word of God. And that's why God took him instead of letting him die. Praise God for people that are faithful day in and day out. Brother Roberts, there's some people here that you don't even have to wonder whether they're going to be here Sunday. Unless they're dead or on a sick bed and they can't hardly even get out, they're going to walk in that door and they're going to be here. And then there's some people you wonder, I wonder if so-and-so is going to come. I wonder if they're going to be here. Yep. I wonder, does God know whether you're going to be faithful or not? Is God going to look at you and think, you're not going to be faithful very long? Let me just say that it's not easy to stand for God. It's not hard. It's not easy to swim upstream. It's not easy to stand alone. But Enoch, that day, he decided to lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking and put on the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what he decided to do. You know, whenever you walk with the Lord, you'll have some things that'll happen in your life that'll be amazing. I'm sure that if you've walked with God much, things have happened. Brother Roberts, I'm sure that you have not had too many difficulties in life, but once in a while you have a burden or a problem. But you don't have too many people to go talk to them about. And pastoring 46 years, I've had the same thing. I've had a few problems and burdens that I carried. And just a couple of years ago, I was down south in Maryland, and I was headed north on Interstate 83. And I was carrying a burden, and I didn't know what I was going to do. My wife was 6 hours north of me, and I was down in Maryland there. And I was praying on the highway, and I was weeping, tears coming down my face. I said, "Oh, God, I need you. Lord, I need you now. Lord, would you help me? Lord, I need you now. Please help me." And my telephone rang, Brother Raines, right then. And I thought, who's that interrupting my prayer? And so I pulled over the side of the highway, took my phone out, looked at it, and the call was from North Carolina. The problem is I don't know anybody in North Carolina. And so I answered the phone and said, "Hello." And the guy said, "Hey, this is Jack Shop, S-H-O-P. Do you know me?" I said, "No, I don't think I do." And he said, "In 1969, you came by my house in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. You were 22 years old. And you led me to Christ. I got saved that day," and he said, "and I've been winning souls ever since because you showed me how to win souls too."
Wow.
And I was weeping again. And I said, "Listen, I can't talk to you right now. I'll call you back. I'll call you back later." And I had to hang up. And I sat there and wept and rejoiced and thanked the Lord. And then when something like that happens, you got to tell somebody. And so I called my wife on the telephone. And I was so broken up, I couldn't even tell her. She thought I had a car wreck and was upside down in the ditch somewhere or something. You know, and couldn't even tell her. And so, anyway, a couple of weeks later, I called Jack back. And I said, "Jack, why did you call me that day when you called?" And he says, "Well, preacher, I was sitting here in my house and I was preparing my Easter Sunday school lesson. And you came to my mind and I couldn't get you out of my mind. And finally, I looked you up on the internet and I found you and God laid it upon my heart to, I found your phone number and he said, call him." Do you know, Brother Roberts, in 46 years, he'd never written me a little note and said, "Thank you for winning me to Christ." In 46 years, he had never, ever called me before and said, "Thank you for winning me to Christ." Never one time tried to contact me and say, "Thanks for winning me to Christ." But after all this time, right at the time that I was praying and said, "Oh God, I need you." And he has this man call me to encourage me at that time. Listen, I know God's real. I know God's real. I've seen him do it, and I could tell you all kinds of stuff that God has done for me. But, you know, the exciting thing is he'll do the same thing for you. He's absolutely no respecter of persons. You put God first in your life. You walk with God, and when you pray and get a hold of God, God will answer your prayers. God will lead you and he'll direct you and he'll give you the wisdom that you need to raise your family for God. And he'll help you through rough water. He'll help you if you'll just put him first in your life and be what God wants you to be. And when you make a mistake as a parent, God will overrule the mistakes because he knows that you're 100% genuine and you're trying to do your dead level best to be what God wants you to be. Could we have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed? Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, and Lord, I tried to preach what you want me to preach tonight, and Lord, there's surely some parents here that you're speaking to, maybe some young people that are giving their mom and dads a rough time that need to get some things right with God, and Lord, maybe there's some husbands and wives that are having problems and need to get things straightened out so that they'd have a sweet atmosphere at home. Lord, please speak to us now during this invitation time. I don't know whether they have an invitation on Wednesday night or not, but Lord, whatever you want, I pray that we'd be able to do that. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I don't know you from Adam, hardly any of you, but if God's speaking to your heart, I'd like to pray, and I'll ask God to help you with whatever it is the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about. But if God's speaking to you about anything, just slip your hand up and hold it there a moment and put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the place. God bless you. Thank you very much. Now, of course, if you're here tonight and you're not born again, you're not saved. You don't know that you're going to heaven when you die. In a minute, when the pianist plays, then I'd like for you to slip out of your seat and come down and take the preacher's hand. Just tell him you want to be saved. And if you raised your hand and the Holy Spirit leads you to, then you need to come to the altar and take care of business with God. You do that. Let's all stand for prayer. Our God and our Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and Lord, a multitude of people raise their hands. I have no idea how many. I tried to look around and see all of them, and I know that there's men in the back and the front and the sides and ladies and young people, and Lord, there's people that you've talked to, convicted them maybe of things in their life, and Lord, some of them need to come to this altar and do business with you, Lord. And Lord, we only want somebody to come if you want them to. And Lord, would you speak to hearts, as you already have, and help people to know what you want them to do. And help people not to be ashamed or bashful, afraid. Nobody's going to pay any attention to anybody else, Lord. They just want you to do your work. And while the pianist plays in a second, Lord, I pray that you would help them to slip out and come if they need to. Take care of business with you. As the pianist plays, God's speaking to you. You just slip out and you come to the altar. Pray and take care of business with the Lord. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit.